I want to just take a few minutes just to talk a bit more about this idea of this unexpected Christmas, the Christmas we never hoped for, the Christmas we never wished for, but it's the Christmas we've got, right? 2020, we have not the power to change it. We have the ability to process, and we have the ability to think it through, and our response is important. And I want us to compare both this unexpected Christmas, but also the first ever Christmas was also a very unexpected Christmas. It was a unprecedented time, the word that's been thrown around a lot in the last few months. It was unprecedented and it was unexpected. And I want to consider with us five unexpected realities and then bring that to a conclusion. The first one was an unexpected birth. And the song or the carol that might come to mind was Mary, Did You Know? And the answer is yes, she did. The birth of Jesus is also known as the incarnation. It's a theological word, but it's a very important word. The incarnation of God is the process by which the eternal Son of God, a son was given, remember, the eternal Son of God clothed himself in human flesh. It's not the point at which Jesus comes into existence. No, that's not true. The eternal Son, Jesus Christ, has existed from all eternity with the Father. It's the doctrine of the Trinity. The incarnation, the virgin birth, is the moment, the process where the eternal Son of God is clothed. No one would have imagined that. What an unexpected reality, especially Mary, right? Especially Mary, and especially Joseph. Imagine how he must have felt. I mean, she must have been moved, no doubt. Is this true? Is this real? And Joseph must have been thinking, well, I don't know. Where's she been? And so Jesus' birth was an unexpected birth. It was a supernatural act of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we read this. Here's how it happened. The Holy Spirit, Gabriel the angel, says this to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So she's receiving this news. You're gonna carry in your womb the eternal Son of God. How? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And then the angels come to Joseph, who's also scratching his head, wondering, how on earth is this possible? And the angel says this to Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 20. What is conceived in her? So there is a biological process. There's a supernatural act of God. And there is a biological reality. There's a conception. What is conceived in her, he says, is from the Holy Spirit. So you might be going, well, that's impossible. Well, that's what miracles are. Miracles are the impossible happening. And the Bible is full of miracles. And so when we talk about an unexpected birth, we have to begin here, right? This is an incredible surprise. God didn't ask Mary for permission. He took the initiative. God took the initiative and he acted gently. He acted graciously, but he acted decisively. Charles Spurgeon reminds us, he says, he that made man was made man. And so now the infinite, eternal God has been made infant. The infinite now infant, and this is the wonder of Christmas. But there's more surprises. The second one is an unexpected town, O little town of Bethlehem. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet says this, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel. This is the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And where's he going to come to? Jerusalem? The great metropolis, the great Jewish stronghold, the great city of God, Jerusalem. No, it's coming to Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem, you are small, insignificant. Bethlehem, what a surprise. What an unexpected reality. The emphasis here is on the smallness of Bethlehem, and it's contrasted with the greatness of the ruler that will come from her. Why not Jerusalem? I mean, can anything good come out of Bethlehem? You see, the point is this, is that when God acts this way, when God chooses the Son of God to be born as a fragile baby, the smallness of the baby and the smallness of Bethlehem and the insignificance of Bethlehem reminds us that Bethlehem could never go, well, of course it's Bethlehem. Look at all of Bethlehem's achievements. Bethlehem was worthy. No, Bethlehem was unworthy. It highlights the sovereign act of God. It highlights the initiative of God. Bethlehem, no one expected it to be Bethlehem, unless you read the prophets, of course. And yet God chooses to change the course of history by bringing the Messiah out of this little town. The story moves on, and we have unexpected guests. We could have expected, no doubt we could have expected the shepherds. No, the shepherds, yes, obviously, the shepherds are going to come and worship. But what about these guys? The three kings from Orient are. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in, where? Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Matthew says, behold, surprise of surprises, he says, behold, wise men from the, where? From the east. These are foreigners. These are not Jews. These are Gentiles. Men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Didn't we just have a Bethlehem star a few nights ago? No, we didn't see it, right? It was cloudy. Don't make too much of that. But what we are to make much of is these unexpected guests. You see, Matthew wants us to be surprised. The word behold is kind of shock and horror. Is this allowed? Are we allowed men from the east? You know what's interesting is that these guys are also known as the Magi or the Magi, depending on how you want to interpret or translate that. But the word Magi is the word from where we get the word magician. Because these three men from the east were not kings, but were pagan astrologers. You have pagan, Gentile astrologers who've come to worship Jesus Christ. Talk about unexpected guests. How are Mary and Joseph going to feel about this? It's okay to welcome Jews to the stable, welcome Jews to the house, to worship Jesus, to pay homage to Jesus. But can this riffraff come and worship Jesus? And so while we sing, we three kings of Orient are, it's a nice Christmas carol, but these are not three kings, by the way. These are three Gentile foreigners, pagans who've come to worship baby Jesus. And then we fast forward the story, and there are lots of unexpected other realities. But we could wrap it all up under our fourth heading, and that is unexpected suffering. What child is this? He was the fulfillment of prophecy. He was the long-expected hope, the Messiah. But he was born to die, born to suffer. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in human form, the incarnation, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The King, the Messiah, the eternal God has been appointed to die, to suffer and to die from the cradle to the cross. Talk about a surprise. Micah the prophet said, yes, it would come from Bethlehem, but he would be a ruler. What kind of ruler is this? He's a humble ruler. He's a servant ruler. He humbled himself to the point of death. Why? Because death was the enemy. Death is the evidence of sin. You want to know, is there such a thing as sin? Well, is there death? The reason there's death is because there's sin. And Jesus came to deal with both. This humble servant ruler came to die because in dying, he could deal with sin. From the cradle to the cross, this was an unexpected mission. Listen, when things go wrong in life, which happens a lot, right? When things go wrong, there's generally no shortage of people willing to voice opinions, right? Facebook. But there's actually very few people who are willing to step in and help out. So when things go wrong, there's no shortage of opinions, but there's very few who actually want to step into the trouble and help, right? But not God. When God looks at the world, for God so loved the world that he gave, he steps into God. The God of the Bible is not an aloof, distant God. He's not a God who's barking orders from afar. The God of the Bible got involved. He stepped into our mess in the person of Jesus Christ. Our God, the God of the Bible, was willing to enter into our brokenness, to get into our suffering, to feel our pain. There is no other God in any other religion that suffers and dies. This is the uniqueness of the Christian faith, is that we have a king who lays down his life for sinners. And in dying for us, in our place, for our sins, he overcomes death. And so Christmas is not a story only about how God came into the world, because he didn't come into the world for a show. He didn't come into the world to create a holiday. He came into the world to suffer and to pay for our salvation through his own blood. And so the unexpected suffering, which was a real suffering, Jesus suffered excruciating pain on the cross. Physically, emotionally, bearing the weight of our sin. But that unexpected suffering gave way to unexpected joy. Who could have dreamt this? That from the cross would come salvation. That from the cross would come glory. Joy to the world. Or we could pick Holy Night. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, a weary world, what? Rejoices. Unexpected joy. Wow, this is our age right now, isn't it? This is the world. This is the globe. The globe is under the weight of sin and error. The globe is feeling the pressure of COVID-19. A weary world needs joy. Amen? A weary world needs hope. That's what Christmas is. That's what the Christmas story is. That's what Christianity is. Listen, Mary knew. Look at this. Mary could see what God was up to. Luke 1 verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She got it. She got it. She knew that this would bring unprecedented suffering to Jesus himself, her son, and to herself and to her family. But at the same time, that suffering and pain would give way to joy everlasting. Not only did Mary get it, but the three Eastern pagan philosophers also got it. Have a look at this, Matthew 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they what? Rejoiced. exceedingly with great joy. They didn't just get happy. They rejoiced exceedingly with joy. Yes, not just joy, great joy. Unexpected joy because of Jesus. And so Christmas, church, Christmas is an unexpected picture of great joy. Jesus comes to us in humility. Jesus takes the initiative. Jesus does the work. We can't make our way to God, and so God comes to us. And so I want to close with this beautiful quote by Peter Larson. He says this. He says, "The life of Jesus is bracketed by two seeming impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entry and left through a door marked no exit." What a surprise. The surprise of surprises, the unexpected realities of Christmas. I want to say to you, life is going to be full of unexpected twists and turns. Let's be ready. You see, the beauty of Christmas is not just that this is the start of the story, and neither is it the end, because there's more to it. We're going to celebrate Christmas like we do communion until Jesus returns. That's the end of the story. This is just a marker. This is just a pointer. This is a sign to remind us that this is not the end. And so let's go. Let's go and have a happy Christmas in 2020. Amen? Let's have a happy Christmas. And you know what? It can be happy. Why? Because Jesus is no longer a little baby in a stable in Bethlehem. He is the exalted Son of God who has overcome sin and death and Satan. He's now ruling over all creation. What we're experiencing has not taken him by surprise. All of the uncertainty he is certain about. And so we can trust him. And we can put our hope in him. And you go, why? And my answer is this. Because he's been there and he's done it. Don't you love that phrase? You know, like an experienced father talking to his son, "Don't worry, I've been there. I've been there and I've done it." All of the unexpected twists and turns, Jesus has experienced firsthand. He's been there and he's done it. Happy Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great day, this great reminder, this great season of joy. Yes, there is sorrow. The life of Jesus was mingled with sorrow and with pain and with suffering. But at the same time, there were seasons of joy and moments of rejoicing. And so we too now, yes, it's difficult, and many, many people are locked in their rooms, locked away. Many are in hospital. Many are suffering. Many are struggling with isolation. And so there is lots of reason to be unhappy. But as we've heard this morning, we are reminded that although we are weary, the world is weary, we can rejoice. A weary world can rejoice because our Savior appeared. Jesus has been there and he's done it. This unexpected journey can be filled with joy. And so I pray that you'd flood our hearts with gratefulness. Lord, we have much to be thankful for, much to be grateful for. And so we thank you. And we fix our eyes on Jesus, who will come again. And when he comes, he will make all things new. All things new. And so we can have joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.